Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight and open up to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 3 in the Word of God this evening. Titus chapter number 3. Once again, those of you who are visiting with us, we do welcome you here to Cross Point Baptist Church on this snowy Wednesday evening. And my office, well, all the offices over here do not have windows. And so I went into the office today, and it wasn't bad around lunchtime. And then came back out around 4 o'clock or so, and it shocked me. It was snowing, and the road coming in was already covered. And I said, oh, Pastor Dan, are we going to be okay with this? Think anybody's going to show up tonight? And he just laughed. Oh, Pastor, they'll be here. And sure enough, they're here, and we praise the Lord. We're going to try to get out of here at a great time tonight, right around 8:45 or so. And okay, you're tuned in. Good. I'm so glad to have Patty here tonight, as well as others that are visiting with us. And thank you so much for your prayers this past week. Carrie and I were able to be in the state of Washington, and it is unbelievable how warm it was there in Washington. I know you're going to laugh, but it was. It was sunny. It was around 55 degrees. We were in Moses Lake, which is kind of in the middle of the state. You could fly into either airport on either side and make your way in. And just so we're there at Moses Lake Baptist Church, and we're involved in a couples conference there. About six churches or so came together, and Carrie and I were both the guest speakers. And then Carrie preached on Sunday, and it was just joking. And Zebra preached on Sunday. We caught a plane real early and came back Monday morning. But it's good to be home. Wonderful to be back in the pulpit. And again, just praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your prayers. I mean that. We ought to be praying for each other. Amen. And as Brian just went through, Pastor Dan, we prayed for all these names tonight. It's easy during that prayer to get our minds on something else. But we're gathered here on a Wednesday evening to pray for each other, lift each other up. And there's a lot of hurt in this world, a lot of people struggling, right, even right here at Cross Point Baptist. And so we want to do our due diligence. Find somebody on that list tonight, and maybe you haven't talked to in a while or haven't heard from. Maybe you don't even know them that well. Give them a phone call. Shoot them a text. Write them a letter. Just tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. I know we don't know each other well, but we miss you. Or I'm praying for your mom or your dad, or praying for your college student that's away at home. It's just an encouragement to hear from someone that we're praying for each other and lifting each other up. Well, Titus chapter number 3 here in the Word of God is where we're going to be tonight. We're going to be looking at this subject, a winter reminder, a winter reminder. And there's no doubt we are heading into one of the longest parts of winter here in the good old month of February. It's cold. It's icy. It's icy down south of us tonight. It's snowy up north of us tonight. It's freezing here right now, hovering around 19 degrees as I look at my watch. Around 19 degrees. We're always heavy into the flu season right about this time. And so let me remind you, wash your hands a lot and head into that kind of flu season. The days are very short. Feels like around 5 o'clock. The sun is going down. And isn't this an encouragement message tonight? I feel like so depressed right now. It gets better. But along that, with that can come frustrations. We lose sight of what life is about. We lose sight of really the Christian life that you and I ought to be living. And so there is this reminder, this winter reminder that we're going to look at here in the Word of God in the book of Titus. So if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight. If your health allows you to this evening, would you please stand out of respect for God's Word. And let's look at Titus chapter number 3. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Titus chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible tonight, just follow along as I read. And we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says this. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. A winter reminder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to You, I ask, Savior, that You would help us to see this reminder that You are giving to us. Father, this is not a preference tonight. This is not something that a standard that Cross Point Baptist Church has come up with. This is not just a duty, but God, it really is us living our lives through You and through Your Word. And Lord, at times we need this. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd give me the discernment that I need tonight. Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd help me to preach with boldness and teach with compassion the very Word of God this evening. Lord, once again, as we make our way out these doors, may we be changed, different than when we came in these doors just now 20, 25 minutes ago. May we be more like You as we walk out this evening. Savior, we love You. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All of us, whether we like it or not, have reminders in our life. All of us have alarm clocks, or most of us have alarm clocks that will wake us up, reminding us that it is time to get up. It is time to start the day. When we jump into our car and start our car, we have those reminders to put on a seatbelt. Or for many ladies in the room tonight, you have a reminder that this little light comes on that reminds you you need to tell your husband to put petrol, fuel, gas into the tank. We have alerts telling us that snow is on its way. We have men this evening, wives that remind us that there are things that need to be fixed or things that need to be done. All of us have those reminders that we give to our kids, maybe even getting out of the car this evening. That reminder to don't run in church and to mind your elders and to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and to behave and to be good. And we give those reminders to our kid. It's just, we've heard it many a times, but it's just a simple reminder. Have you ever noticed in the Word of God how frequently the Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are and where we came from? Now, hold on, just wait a minute. When we hear that phrase, we automatically think, that just doesn't seem fair, that doesn't seem right, that the Holy Spirit reminds us in the Word of God who we are and where we came from. Well, it's not a thing of self-worth or pride. It is to remind us of who you and I are now in Christ. It's to remind us how you and I are to behave in this world that we live in. What we love about this passage of Scripture here in the book of Titus is that we have an older seasoned missionary that's writing to a younger Gentile named Titus. The first chapter here in this book has to do with the appointment of elders or leaders in the local church there on the island of Crete. And there's this kind of setting up or this foundation that is being built. The remaining two chapters here deal with the conduct and the convictions expected of those who call themselves Christians, those who have been saved and are part of a local church. The awesome thing that you and I can admire over and over and over again in the Pauline epistles is that from Titus and Timothy, they both had a heart to learn. They both had a heart that was engaged. They learn often from this Apostle Paul, this missionary that had made several trips around the globe and was doing a great deal of church planting and training that even he had received from God Himself. I mean, you and I, looking at this passage of Scripture, always have a heart to learn from another generation. May you and I always look, it's not just necessarily at an older generation, it's not necessarily just at a younger generation, But I believe that all of us, no matter how long you and I have been saved, you and I have this heart and this mind that we want to learn, that we constantly want to be engaged, that we do want to learn those who are walking in this culture and are raising kids and are living in this society. But then also we want to learn from those who have gone before us. It was one younger pastor that said it this way, and I quote, "I want friends my age. I want mentors that have already been through many storms in their life. May you and I constantly learn." And in the light of the times in which we live, we find this great reminder from Paul to Titus that is very much applicable for you and I living tonight. Number one, if you're taking notes this evening, would you write this down? Number one, recognize the world is watching. Number one, recognize the world is watching. Look with me once again here at verse number one and watch what the apostle says here. "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." Now, oftentimes we look at this passage of scripture. Here's where many times as preachers we concentrate on. We concentrate on kind of the first part of this verse. We concentrate on being subject or obedient, that there is a need to obey those that have rule over us. And it's a great passage of scripture, and without a doubt is absolutely applicable to you and I living today. In fact, let me pause right here and just say, this is something that we ought to be handing down to a younger generation. Not just by what we say, but also by the way that you and I conduct and live our lives. In the day and age that you and I live, there really is a falling away, or there really is missing in our culture a respect for authority that is over us. There used to be a day and age when a teacher would say something, didn't matter if it was homeschool, Christian school, public school, it was a kid that would obey the teacher. When the teacher and there was conflict with the teacher and with the students, the parent would come in. And, I mean, it was 9 times out of 10, 99% of the time, the parent was going to side with the teacher because of the authority that was there. We now live in a day and age where, and there's even public school teachers in here, there's Christian school teachers in here, there's moms that that even homeschool at home, and you understand very quickly that now there is this friction constantly that is taking place, even with the parents and the teachers, that there's not the respect for teachers that we once had. I respect and I praise the Lord for our men and women in blue, even those who are here at Cross Point Baptist Church tonight. If you're thankful for our law enforcement, say amen tonight. I know we have several here tonight. You ought to shake their hand and or fist bump them or elbow bump, whatever they feel comfortable with. Might not want to hug them, but whatever you want to do, okay? But go up and tell them thank you. Because I'm telling you, I am thankful that right here in Indianapolis, we could lay our head down at night knowing that our men and women of blue are out there protecting us. And the day and age we live, we've really lost that respect for our men and women in blue. But friend, look, just because there might be one or two out there that's a nut job doesn't mean you can lump all of them in. You and I ought to be teaching a younger generation to respect our police officers, to respect those who have rule over us. If this makes sense, tonight, let me hear you say amen. Amen. It's something that we ought to pass down. There ought to be that respect and understanding that we have managers and we have bosses and we have those that have rule over us, and there is that respect that is needed there. The subject of obedience, yes, but don't miss the ending of this verse. Look what it says here. It says this, to be ready to every good work. You see, there is going to be a difference that is made in your and my life. There is this reminder here to be ready to make a difference. And oftentimes, watch very carefully, what we hear from this generation, this culture is, well, I really, Pastor, I think that sounds good, but I can't make a difference. I'm just so-and-so, or here's my excuse, or here's why it will never work, and here's why I can be taken out of this context, because I could just never make a difference. You don't know where I've been, or what I've done, or what I've been involved in, or what skills I am lacking in. Friend, let's just be reminded from the Word of God that you and I, if we're saved this evening, we are already different. In fact, the Bible says it like this: but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. There was a simple reminder of this, that the world is watching you and I. And truthfully, they want something from you and I that is real, not made up, not fluff, not the same or identical to the world. They don't want an imitation. And they want something and desire something that is not made up by man. It is not man's religion. Doesn't matter if it was back in the 1970s or in February of 2021. What this lost world is looking for is not something that is made up from you and I. What the lost want is they want the real thing. And what you and I are reminded of tonight is that we ought to be authentic. Authentic in our relationship with God. Authentic in our walk with Him. Authentic in the way that you and I conduct ourselves. That when the world looks at us, as we saw in the book of Psalms several weeks ago, they just don't see what you and I are against. There's a lot of things that you and I are against, and it's not just preference or our standard. There's a lot of things that you and I are against because of the very Word of God. But this world isn't interested in just what you and I are against. They also want to know what you and I are for. And you and I are for love and joy and peace and happiness. And we're enthusiastic about the local church and the things of God. We want them to know that we're going to be an encouragement, and we're for mercy and grace, and our speech is going to be different, and our hope is going to be different, and our security is different. Our testimony, watch very carefully, is different. It's separate. It's a part of the world's testimony. You and I are salt. But if the salt is going to be hidden in the salt shaker, we're really not going to be a threat to Satan. We're not going to be a threat to this world. You and I must allow our life and direction to be clear. A biblical path. We're reminded this evening, watch now, the world is watching you and I. They're watching you. Watching the way we conduct ourselves. They're watching the way that we post on social media. Let's put it this way. I think oftentimes we hear this and we automatically do what we've done for generations now. We clam up. Oh, yes, right. Okay. Go. Whew. That is a great reminder. So here's the reminder, you know, recognize the world is watching. So, whew, honey, here's what we're going to do. It's a great reminder for the Word of God. So, you know what? Let's start living our life again, understanding that everybody is watching us. Now, watch very carefully. We have to be careful, because if we take this verse and put it in the context of what we think it means, we're going to get off base. This doesn't mean that we recognize the world is watching, so we live our life as if we have to please everyone. Or we cannot offend anyone. Friend, look, if you're saved tonight, you are already offensive to this world. They you don't have to do or say anything else. I don't care. You name it. You don't have to pick a football team or a basketball team. You don't have to be pro-mask or against mask or this or that. Look, you are, if you live your life like the Lord Jesus Christ wants to live in our life through us, watch very carefully. You and I are already offensive to this world. In fact, the Bible goes as far to say, they hate you. And it's not because of you, it's because of me. What Jesus said. I don't want to raise my kids under the, can I put it like this, maybe the precept or with the foundation that we have to live our life walking on eggshells because everybody's watching us. And if you haven't realized already, look, the Shepherd family is not perfect, okay? We're not raising perfect kids. Nobody said amen, so I think we're doing okay there, hon. We're not raising perfect kids. We don't have a perfect marriage. We don't have always all together. In fact, look, let's just be honest. Neither do you. There's a couple of amens there. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. I don't have it all together. There are none righteous, no, not one. I don't want to build this foundation while the world is watching, so I can't offend anyone. You can't do that. There are things that I stand for in my life that's going to be offensive to other people. I believe, because the Word of God teaches, that a marriage is between a man and a woman, period. That's offensive to this world. I believe that God created male and He created female. That's the only two genders. Anything outside of male and female is made up of man. That's what the Bible says. That's offensive to people today. I still believe, and I'm meddling tonight, but I was out of the pulpit Sunday, so it's good to be back. Amen. I believe still that I think bathrooms ought to be women's bathrooms and men's bathrooms. It's worked for a long time. Works for me. Works for my family. I've got five girls in my family. It works for them. You can't say that today. That's offensive. Let's just be honest. I might have offended somebody by saying, I don't believe in evolution. I believe that God created the world and everything in it. Well, you can't say that. It was created over billions of years. Well, that's great, but I believe by faith, because I wasn't there, that God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And He saw each day that it was good, it was good, it was good. And I just believe God created it. He put it out there. He said it was good. End of story. Well, you got to have faith to believe that. Well, friend, you got to have faith that something exploded trillions or billions or make it up years ago and it put it out there. You see? You see how we meddle? We're going to be offensive to some people. My life, watch very carefully, because the world is watching. I don't want us to do Cross Point Baptist what we're so good at doing, and we hear this and think, okay, I got to adjust, and so I got to be really careful that I don't offend anybody. In fact, oftentimes, watch now, we'll take out of context the verses where, well, you know, we don't want to offend the brother, we don't offend the brother, you know, the weaker brother. Excuse me, friend, listen very carefully. A person who has been saved for 5 years is not a weaker brother. If they're the weaker brother, something's obviously wrong. A person who's been saved for 50 years and they're still being, I'm offended. So friend, I'm just here to tell you, I think there ought to be some checking up in that person's life, because the Bible says, if we love thy law, nothing will offend thee. That's you and I having the Word of God and saying, look, we got thick skin. There's people out there who live their life and they do their thing and they're going to stand before God one day. Aren't you glad they don't stand before us? And I'm glad that I don't stand before them. I have a Creator. I have a God. His name is Jesus Christ. I will see Him face to face one day. And when I kneel, I will not kneel to anyone in this room. And you will not kneel to anyone in this room. We will not kneel before a pastor or a deacon or a priest or a Sunday school teacher or a grandma and grandpa. But you and I one day will kneel before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our life is not to be lived, oh, can't offend Glory and Josh because, you know, they don't like blue shirts. And it's not in the Bible, but I guess I'll change it. Oh, can't offend Carrie, you know. She's all about the black turtlenecks. And so I'll come over here and be real careful. Oh, George has got on a blue mask. I only wear a white mask. And all of a sudden, we start, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm threatened. Oh, I can't live. I'm just telling you, friend, I'm getting tired of preaching it. You're going to wear yourself out trying to live to everybody else's preferences and standards. Pastor, what do we do? This. We live our life by this. This is all we need. Well, we actually need that plus wrong. This. Well, I know it's not in the Bible, but so-and-so told me, wrong, just this. Yeah, but a long time we've been doing. Okay, well, everybody's doing new, and they're just, why don't we just get back to the very Word of God and recognize and realize this evening that you and I have a testimony for the generation that is coming up behind us. Recognize that the world is watching, and so don't do what we often do, put ourselves in a bubble and be bounced back and forth like a pinball machine, trying not to offend anybody. No, just live our lives with one person in mind, with Jesus, look, the author and finisher of our faith, working through our lives to be like Him. Friend, are we going to offend some people? Sure. But we've got to recognize the world is watching. Number two this evening, would you write this down? We must reveal God's love. Look at verse number two here with me of Titus 3. Look at verse number two. To speak evil of no man. Think about that. To be no brawlers, not fighting, but gentle. Showing all meekness. Look at the wording here. Unto those that are in our family. Unto just the members of Cross Point Baptist Church. To those that we like. Nope. Meekness unto all men. It's a reminder this evening to reveal God's love. It's living life in a godly, loving manner before the Lord. You and I must be careful not to send a wrong signal to this lost world, causing them to turn away from Christ instead of to Him. That means this, it's a reminder this evening that it ought to turn our stomachs to hear of someone speaking or insinuating or insulting, not just, listen now, not just another Christian, but anyone. In fact, the Bible says it like this, but I say unto you, now don't you now hear. This is probably one of the hardest verses for you and I to live in all of the Bible. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. You ever thought about that? What? Yeah, I can love my mom pretty easy. She's an awesome woman. Love dad. Oh, buddy, do I love dad. Grandma, grandpa, without a doubt. Love each other? Sure, Jim. Man, we got a love for each other. Man, I praise the Lord for you. Brother Brian, the guys that get to work. Pastor Dan, love each other? Without a doubt, man. We get to pray together. Pastor Floyd, man, we absolutely love each other. Yes, the prayer list tonight, yep, love those people. But the Bible says this, love your enemies. Huh. Bless them that curse you. Really? And do good to them that hate you. Do something good for them. I mean, Lord, it's getting a little awkward in here. You seriously? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How do we do that? Cross Point. How do we do that? In our flesh, are you kidding me? Never accomplish it. How many here, let's just be honest tonight, if you don't want to participate, you don't have to. But how many tonight would say this? You have been hurt by somebody in your life. Would you be honest enough just to raise your hand? My hand's raised. Would you be honest enough to raise your hand? You've been hurt. Now just lift it up for just a moment. Just lift it up. Just hold it up. Again, if you don't want to participate, don't worry about it. We'll just all think no one's ever hurt you. Okay, but you raise your hand. Now, keep it up. Keep it up. And everybody look around for just a minute, but keep your hands up. Everybody look around. Everybody look around. Wow. You know what that means? There's been some hateful people in this world, hasn't there? Well, there's been some mean people. Somebody said something. It hurt. Carrie, we've been there. Pastor Poe, know you've been there. Anybody in ministry, you know, we've been there. So Lord, Pastor Chris, been there before. Yeah, it hurts. We got a home crowd tonight, probably a lot of you in the live stream this evening too. A lot of their hands probably went up, didn't they, on live stream this evening. To be honest with you, some of the worst hurt we've ever had has come from somebody either we loved or maybe even another Christian. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. They hurt me. They lied about me. They insinuated something about me. They stabbed me in the back. They got me fired. They were abusive to me. Lord, I just don't even know how to react to somebody like that. The Lord gives us a reminder. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. And Jesus saying this, it's revealing not your love, it's revealing my love. You see, Paul had a caring heart and was giving a reminder to be meek, as it says here, to all men. May you and I come together. We're a church family. That is one thing that we have to love about the local church is you and I have friends and you and I have family and you and I have a team for life. Well, that's just not me. To be honest with you, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of quiet, or I'm not the nicest of people. I'm kind of curt in my language, and I don't know, I've kind of always been a loner. And I know some people even say my family tree is maybe even kind of, I put it this way, a mean sometimes. We just got that mean streak or that spirit in us. I don't know. I guess I inherited from my mom or my dad. And I don't mean to be, but to be honest with you, it's probably not going to change. It's just who I am. Let's just be reminded from the Word of God tonight, friend. Maybe it's time for you and I to let down the drawbridge to our personal castle and turn the light on and turn off that old, rugged, unfriendly, biased attitude and understand that our life is not being lived for us, but it's living our life for Him. It's not all about us, but it's all about our Savior. And if there was ever a place where people should be able to come and get away from the meanness and the bullies and the darkness of this world, it ought to be right here at Cross Point Baptist Church. The Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That means this, friend. It's not you and I coming in. We get into the song service. We worship God a little bit. We get in the preaching of God's Word. And we just head out and that's it. Let's be honest tonight. We all have needs. We all have times where we're lonely. We've all had times of despair. We've gone through the ebb and flow of life. And we have our Abba Father carrying us. Yes. But friend, I'm here to tell you, it goes a long way when you and I are there for each other and support each other and lift each other up and maybe give each other a smile or a hug or a handshake or a text message or some flowers or a card and just say, hey, I just want to tell you I'm thinking about you. It's not the attitude, well, I did that once, but I went to the hospital and nobody visited me. Nobody talked to me. I didn't get flowers and so-and-so got flowers. It's not thinking about us and what we can get. It's thinking about what you and I can do for others. Why? Because it's not saying, you reveal your love to me. You reveal your love to me. You reveal your love to me. No, it's you and I being reminded that we're not revealing our love. We're revealing God's love, who sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross. Why? To save you and I of our sins. It's revealing who He is. You know, sometimes I think we sit back and we hear this and, well, that's good and that's great, but and don't we? Look, I'm not pointing anybody out. In my own life, I can come up with 10 excuses of why this doesn't work for me. I come up with 15 excuses. Well, that's good for so-and-so, but to be honest with you, they've never walked a day in my shoes. Boy, can't we? That's just like us. God says, we're not comparing our lives to each other. Friend, you and I ought to be glad for that. We can always find somebody who's doing worse than we are. I'm so glad I'm not just so-and-so. But let me tell you, there's a lot of people who are doing better than us. We're not going to find those people. My Savior doesn't compare me with everyone else. You know why? He made me separate. My name's Thomas Shepherd. Check it out. There's only one of me in the world. Don't say amen right there, okay? There's only one of me in this world. I'm the only one. Somebody's got my name, sure, but they're not me. There's not one other Thomas Cooper Shepherd out there. Just me. How cool is that? Pretty cool. Guess what? There's only one of you out there. If you're saved tonight, you have a special relationship with Him. well, so-and-so, they can go to God. They always get their prayers answered. Stop. Well, so-and-so, well, I don't know. Well, I think that, stop. We're being reminded to reveal the love of God. How do we do that? Well, you can go to the Gospels and start reading about Jesus who was put on trial. You talk about a system that was rigged. Man, they bring up people saying all kinds of stuff about him. It's no social media. There's no proof. There's no video cameras. Whatever they said went. He stood before two men. They, time after time again, here's what happened. Here's what happened. Here's what he said. None of it was true. Took him out. 39 lashes. Ripped apart his body. Stuck a crown of thorns right on his head. Now, these little briars that we see down in the south, Alabama, North Carolina, I'm talking about thorns, the brow of his head. Put a blindfold on him. Hit him over and over again. Cross the face. You ever been hit across the face? Hurts. Buffet him over and over and over again. You have to take it. Brought him out. Put him on a cross. Naked in front of everyone. The words that he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, our love is, I'll get them back. Ooh, I'll show them. Oh, you think you're good on Facebook. Watch what I can. Oh, pull this family on my side. Boy, if I can just get them to get on my side. Boy, if I can roll them in. No, God says, stop. Reveal my love. Because I love them. A winter reminder. We'll pick up next.